Genesis 42. I went longer this morning, so that means I got to go shorter tonight. That means I have to say more in less time. And that means you have to pay close attention to what I'm saying. We've been looking at a number of messages now on the likenesses between Joseph in the Old Testament and the life of Jesus himself. And I don't know if this study has been a help to you, but it sure has been a blessing to me. And I think tonight, once again, we'll see a couple exceptional things, if not three or four exceptional things in the Scripture. We started on the 42nd chapter back before Easter, and we dealt a little bit with people that didn't know Him, His brethren didn't know Him, and how people today don't know the Lord. The Lord's wanting to make Himself known. God never sets out to explain Himself. God's goal is to reveal Himself. Because He can't explain Himself. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are greater than our thoughts. As the heavens is higher than us, even so is His thoughts and His ways. Here we'll begin reading with the 21st verse tonight. This is the words of His brothers. And they said one to another, "We are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us." And Reuben answered them, saying, "Spake I not unto you, saying, do not sin against the child," referring to Joseph, "and you would not hear. Therefore, behold also, his blood is required." And they knew not that Joseph understood them, for he spake unto them by an interpreter. Listen, let's read that again. And they, referring to his brethren, knew not that Joseph understood them, for they spake unto them, for he spake unto them by an interpreter. And he turned himself about from them and wept, and returned to them again, and communed with them, and took from them Simeon, and bound him before their eyes. Let's just look at three or four things in these passages of Scripture that I pray will be a blessing to you as they have been to me in this study. The first thing is I call your attention to that 21st verse. When they were talking among themselves, not realizing that he was able to understand them and hear them. That they talk about the evil deed that they've done. And they felt great anguish and were grieved over that evil deed. And they couldn't help but mention his blood in relation to that evil deed. What a parallel in the Bible to the life of Judas. We know that when Judas had betrayed the Lord, after that he had done that in the 27th chapter of Matthew, verses 3 through 5, he realized that he had sinned in that he had betrayed innocent blood. And he came back grieved over the very thing that he had done. But of course, it was the price of the blood. They wouldn't take the money back into the treasury because they couldn't. It was no longer sanctified for the use of the Lord in the treasury. And they had to turn that away. But yet it grieved them over their evil deed and the mentioning about the blood. Even so, sometimes we forget the fact that the Lord hears and understands us. Do you know the Lord hears everything we say? Knows every thought in our mind? He knows every desire that we have. He hears the things that we say about Him. And they thought, well, He doesn't see and He doesn't understand and He doesn't care. But He did. He heard them. But then, this is what really caught my attention and I'm going to focus on tonight. Joseph intentionally, first of all, he spoke to them in a language that they could not understand. That was deliberate. You know in Scripture that John 8:43, Jesus said, "Why do you not understand my speech?" But in reality, he knew why, because in Matthew 13, we know that he expressly taught in parables, because parables were earthly stories and earthly illustration with heavenly meaning. They couldn't understand because when he would talk about things, he would season it with an understanding of a spiritual nature. So when you go into a world that all they know is the system of the world, and you begin to speak about spiritual things, They don't understand what you're talking about. You know, the world, we've come so far now that most people, they don't understand even the basic terms of Christianity anymore. When we talk about being saved, the world don't know what we're talking about. When we talk about people praising the Lord, they don't know what we're talking about. When we use spiritual terms like hallelujah, praise the Lord, they don't know what we're talking about. Because any time that we deal with those things, we're talking on a spiritual level. And their levels of this world, and their thoughts are of this world. And they couldn't understand it. And they had no understanding of the meaning. There's so many things that I think that people in life, when they're lost, they want to understand spiritual things. But you can't understand spiritual things until you have the Spirit. Now, His words are life. His words are spirit. The letter of the law killeth, but the spirit of the law giveth life. If I just read this Bible, word for word, with no spiritual understanding whatsoever, it would be the gloomiest picture of all. But when the Holy Spirit begins to reveal what God is saying in the pages of this book, then everything changes. Therefore, the more that the church, I'm not talking about Rubyville, I'm talking about the church, the church of the living God, the more that we distance ourselves from the Spirit, the more we face a lack of knowledge for the Word of God. Do you know that in the last days there'll be a famine? There'll be a worldwide famine. It won't be a famine for bread. It won't be a famine for material things. It'll be a famine for knowledge of the Word of God. You wouldn't believe how spiritually ignorant people are today. I don't mean to be picking on anyone, but you just wouldn't believe how spiritually ignorant people are. A fellow stopped me a few days ago, and he talked to me a little bit about the church. He's really wrestling. He's been in his church for a number of years. He was raised in the church. And he said, I've got a problem. And I said, well, what's the problem, brother? He said, well, our pastor got up and tried to take the Bible and teach us from the Bible that it was all right to play the lottery. And I said, well, what did you think about that? He said, well, I'm no preacher, but I knew they were up to something. And said 2 weeks later they got up and made an announcement in the church that they were going to have a raffle in the church. Hey, let's get this right. Raffles don't belong in the church. You don't need raffles. You don't need bake sales. You don't need yard sales. You don't need chicken suppers. I'm preaching now. All you need is to get folks to understand that God intended for His work to be run by tithes and offerings. Don't shout me down now. You say you're picking on a lot of people. Well, you know, by the time, that's a lot of work to do a lot of these things. If people would take that same work and raise money and give the money, then suddenly, one thing, it wouldn't make the church look so desperate. And the second thing of all, how do you gamble in the name of God? I thank you. Two of them said, good preaching. I'm trying to preach tonight. And he said, well, what would you do? I said, I'd get out of there and wouldn't even have to pray about it. Whether you come to Rubyville or not, I wouldn't give it a second thought. Because we are spiritually ignorant. We get farther and farther away from the Word of God. And before long, people start to look at things and try to attach the Lord to things that's not spiritual. Hold on, I'm not finished. We're a lot like, because people don't understand the work of the Spirit. And that's what it is. They couldn't understand. Since they can't understand the work of the Holy Ghost, and they haven't seen the work of the Holy Ghost manifest in their church, or manifestations of the Spirit in their church, they get real afraid. They're like the preacher that went into the church out west. And he was intrigued when he walked inside of the church. Back in their foyer, they had a bright, burning picture. It was flames. And it said, the church needs to be on fire. Boy, that caught his attention. He read that for a few moments, and then he looked down below it and he saw a sign, fire extinguisher. I'm telling you, there's a lot of folks don't understand the Spirit. We're not careful, we can stop what God's trying to do real quick. One testimony that's not anointed by the Lord can stop the most spiritual service in all the country. One inappropriate song at the wrong time can kill a service. You all know what I'm talking about. I mean, sometimes the Spirit's carrying us away to a higher level to sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, and all of a sudden somebody wants to stand up and tell you what a miserable day they had on the job. We're trying to get away from the job for a little while. We're trying to sit in glory. We're trying to get beyond the cares of this life. I don't think you come here to be comforted by all the problems of life. I think for a little while you want the Spirit of God to lift you up above the shadows of a dark and dreary land and get to a place where you can sense the glory of God in His presence and power. You can, you know, we got to get to the place, whether we understand this or not, where that everything needs to be seasoned with the Spirit. When we sing songs, they need to be seasoned with the Spirit. Listen, if it's not seasoned with the Spirit and you're just doing it to fill time, do me a favor, don't do it. I mean, isn't it terrible to see a preacher just keep going on when the Spirit's not in it? No understanding. They're a lot like the missionary I read about that went to West Africa. And West Africa was so thrilled that they had sent these T-shirts from America. They had sent a bunch of T-shirts over there and it had all kinds of writing on board. And they were thrilled to death to get these T-shirts. But they just knew it came from America. And because it came from America, they thought it was all right to wear it. And she said, I looked at this guy and he was about 6'7". And he had on a pink T-shirt. And right on the belly it said, baby on board. And he was so proud of that T-shirt. But didn't have a clue what it said. We talk a lot about the Spirit, but sometimes I wonder if we have a clue about what God is really wanting to do. Someone said, why, preacher, in this day and age, people don't care much about the Spirit. That's the problem that we face. I realize that. When you start talking about being filled with the Spirit and the baptism in the Holy Ghost, people get afraid. Jesus said, Jesus Himself, when He come before John, John looked at Him. He said, you know, I'm not He that cometh. There's one coming after Me whose shoe latchets I'm not worthy to unloosen. I baptize you with water. But when He has come, He will baptize you with somebody afraid to even say it, with the Holy Ghost and fire. That word baptize, interesting word. It's baptismos in the Greek. That means to immerse. It was used in a couple different areas to describe things. One was a ship that was sinking. When the water would get on the inside of the ship, as long as the water stays on the outside, the ship couldn't sink. But when the water got on the inside of the ship would sink because of the water that came inside of it. Another thing was when they talk about garments that were being dyed, they would put them down and immerse them into the dye until every fiber was covered with that color of dye to give it that right color. What he's saying is that the Lord wants to come into us until every part inside of us is completely filled with the Spirit of God and every fiber of our life has the color of heaven upon it. The Lord wants our life to be filled with His glory, with His grace, with His power, with His might, with His Spirit. Oh God, give us an awakening of the need of the Holy Ghost in our lives and in our services like never before. To be filled. You know, some folks treat the Spirit of God like the old fellow that bought the cow off his neighbor. He bought a milk cow. And he never had a milk cow. A few weeks passed and he come back and he said, that cow you sold me is no good. He said, well, what do you mean? He said, she won't give no milk. He said, have you been milking her every day? He said, well, every time I need a glass of milk, I go out and milk her that much. Some of these kids don't understand how it works, but we raised cows when I was a kid. Don't work that way. You got to milk the cow every day whether you want to drink the milk or not. Because as soon as you stop milking the cow, what happens? The cow dries up. Let me tell you something. You can't pick and choose when you want the Spirit of God to bless a church and bless a servant. A church that does that is a church that will dry up. We need the power of the Holy Ghost every time we walk through these doors, set in the sanctuary of God. We need God to fill our services with His power. You can't say, Lord, I need Your power today. Then come back and say, Lord, I'm too tired to get blessed tonight. No, we need the power of the Holy Ghost when we're happy. When we're sad, we need the power of the Holy Ghost. When the things are going good, and when things aren't so good, we need the power of the Holy Ghost. On Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival meeting, Sunday school, we need the power of the Holy Ghost more than ever before. Folks don't have the understanding that not only is there a lack of understanding, but He had an interpreter. That's why we need Him. When He has come, He will teach us all things. This word was inspired, God breathed by the Holy Ghost. Holy men of God penned these words as the Spirit of God moved on them. Now, how can you read that in the flesh and have understanding? That's why the Lord says when a person is born again, they're not born of water. They're born of the Spirit. Because the Spirit helps us understand. Please listen to me. If there is any passage of Scripture that you don't understand, if you seek God long enough on it and pray enough about it, the Spirit will give you understanding. Now, what this has created is a desire for shortcuts in the church world. We want someone else to get a revelation and share the revelation with us. And we want to find a shortcut. That's why all these versions have popped up. We think there's a shortcut. If we get another version, then we'll be more intelligent. We'll have greater understanding. No, there's no shortcut to it. You've got to pray and ask God for understanding. Because this word is Spirit. The Spirit of God inspired it, and the Spirit of God's inside of us, and He'll give us the revelation that we need. But without that, without the help of the Holy Spirit, we can't interpret things properly. Jesus said, when He, the Spirit, has come, He will testify of me. He'll speak of me. He'll speak for me. Have you ever had the Holy Ghost tell you something? I hope you don't think I've lost my mind. I mean, have you ever had the Spirit of God just tell you something? So sure, just as sure as you knew your name, it was the Spirit of the Lord and He'd given you witness in your heart. Have you ever picked up His Word and not understood something and drive down the highway and then all of a sudden the Spirit of God revealed to you what was going on? I remember when I was a new convert, it used to bother me a lot. You remember when the prophet came to the man that had borrowed the axe and he lost the axe head? And he retrieved the axe head by the power of God. It used to bother me because I know, now I'm not doubting God, I just want an understanding. And I know that iron is heavier than water. And there's no way that iron can be on top of water and get back to that fella. And it wasn't that I was questioning God, I just wanted to know how He did it. One day I'm sitting there reading the Bible and it says the iron did swim. That's what it says. It says the iron did swim. Well, if God could make a fish to swim, I guess He could make an axe head to swim. God can do anything He wants to do. The Holy Spirit will give you little nuggets that you can tuck away in the depths of your soul that when the enemy comes against you, you know that that's not true because the Spirit has given you the understanding. The Spirit has given you the knowledge. The Spirit has interpreted what you couldn't understand. Can you really prove that, preacher? Sure. If you're lost tonight, you can come to this altar and we can have every preacher in this church come in and gather around you. You can stay right there on that altar and I can have every deacon come. I can have every Christian in this church come. And we can all tell you what the Word of God says. And we can all tell you what you need to do. But merely us telling that means nothing to you. But when the Spirit of God reveals to you, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the Holy Spirit reveals to you that you've done everything that you can do, and our salvation rests in the work of Jesus Christ. He shed His blood and rose from the dead, and the Holy Spirit says, you are now born again, and gives you that life in your soul. I know you might not be able to describe it with words, but you know when the load is lifted and the sin is gone, and the Lord speaks peace to your heart. Nobody has to really tell you that. We'll ask you, do you know you're saved? But way down in the depths of your soul, you'll know, because the Holy Spirit is borne witness in your heart that you've been born again, made a new creature in Christ. All things passed away. All things become new. Thank God for the witness of the Spirit. See, we think He needs us. It's a whole lot like World War II when Italy invaded Ethiopia. Ethiopia at that time had one known church with about 70 members. For 5 years they were driven out of Ethiopia and they couldn't come back. And they thought when they finally returned, the missionaries got back, there wouldn't be a church left. In 5 years the church had grown from 70 with the help of the missionaries to 60,000. 60,000 active Christians. How did that happen? The help of the Spirit. The Lord said to the missionaries, you planted the seed. I'll take it from here. The harvest belongs to the Lord. God allows us to work for Him, but there's some things that I cannot do for you. The only one that can do it is the Holy Spirit. Oh, how we need Him. We ought to desire His help more than any generation that's ever lived. Something else. And I'll close. Joseph wept in this passage and in several occasions through the chapters that you'll read in the life of Joseph. You'll find him to be a weeping man. You know why? He had great compassion. He cared. I guess the greatest concern and burden in my heart over the years has always been, Lord, never let people say that we don't care. That we don't care about their soul. If nothing else, I pray that our compassion for your soul will always bleed through from this church. That any time you're in this place, we may not do everything the way you want it done, at the timing you want it done. And we may not be able to be everywhere at all times. But I want to tell you something. People know when you care. They do. You will never know what you all meant to our family in the past 15 months. Never ever. And really, the biggest thing you did was you just cared. You cared. We're living in a world today that is so hard and so ruthless. I know that a lot of the preachers have been doing, they've really picked up on their visitation. And gentlemen, I thank you for that, what you're doing. I think that is the most blessed part of ministry. I love to preach, but I love to visit people. And every now and then I'll go through nursing homes and some of the staff that are kind enough, I'll just stop them and I'll ask them, has there anybody been in here that's been a while since anybody checked on them? You'd be amazed how many of them, when you stop and have prayer and just spend 5 or 10 minutes, you get ready to go and they'll say, thank you for caring. There's a lot of folks here in the area that you might not understand this, but, and I hope you don't think bad of me after I say it, I probably spend more time visiting members of other churches than I do our own church. And I'm not saying that to glorify myself. Please understand. And I know the other preachers do the same thing. Do you know how many preachers today just plain don't care? You know how many churches just don't care? There's a little lady, and I won't call the family's name out, but I visit her every time she's been in the hospital. I visit her in the nursing home. I don't know how many times she said things like this to me. I've been sick for 3 years. I've been sick for 4 years. Nobody from my church has ever called. Nobody's ever come by. I wonder if they care. Oh, God help us. I stood at the casket on last Tuesday of my mother. And I looked up and I saw a whole group of preachers come through the back door. And I loved them all and I appreciate it. They probably drove 4 hours each way to get here. And one of the preachers passed by and hugged my neck. And he said, "Preacher, I just had to come." And I remember several months ago, he's a great man of God, great man of God. But he and his wife found their daughter. She had hung herself. And everyone kind of isolated from them. And I got in the meeting, I don't know how far away I was, quite a distance, probably a couple, 3 hours away. And one day the Spirit of the Lord just touched my heart and said, "You got to get there, got to get there today." And I went to visit him and his wife hadn't come out of the room, out of her bedroom, stayed there night and day crying. You can imagine what the devil would say to someone that loves the Lord and serve God in a time like that. And we talked for a little while. And I tried to do the best I could with stumbling words. Finally, I told her, I said, "You know, I can't say anything. I can't say one thing to take your pain away." And she said, "What can you do for me, preacher?" And I took that couple by the hand. And I said, "I'll tell you what I can do. I can cry with you." We had prayer. And he said, "Preacher, you'll never know what it meant for someone to come and say, 'I care. I care.'" I know we get accused of a lot of things, and we're probably guilty of a lot of things as a church that we're accused of. But one thing I can say, thank God for people that care about souls. They're patient during invitations. They care about their loved ones that's around them. Why do we do that? Because Jesus had great compassion. When He wept at the tomb of Lazarus, He did not weep because He knew that Lazarus was going to be raised from the dead. He wasn't weeping because it was final separation. He was weeping because of His compassion. He was a man acquainted with our sorrows and griefs. Sometimes you go through life and you'll take on a lot of burdens. You take on a lot of other people's burdens. Burdens that are hard to carry. But I want to tell you something. Your compassion will do more to bless lives and touch people than anything else you'll ever do in all your life. All you got to do is care. A lot of people say, "Well, preacher, I'd like to show that I care." Well, you got all kinds of opportunities. Some of you young married couples, hear me. I'm going to close with this. Hear me. I know life is busy. And I know it's very hectic. But you need to get in the habit now of teaching your children by example, not only to come to church and have prayer with them, but teach them by example how to care. That means when somebody in the church dies, prepare a dish. Boy, where's that shouting leave when you kind of hit a little nerve there, you know? Boy, you'll never know what that means. Darren and Courtney, you'll never know what that meant to our family. When we got home last Tuesday night, and the people, Carol will testify to it, the people that packed up and loaded and went all the way to Lawrence County to be there, you would not believe how many of our family has said, we wish we had a church like that around here. I'm telling you, it touches people. You ask the Moots family if it don't make a difference when people care, when they pass through and just 5 minutes on a day and say, I just wanted to stop by. You ask them if it don't make a difference. Lola packing up the food, and a lot of you don't think your preacher knows what you're doing, but people tell on you when it's good. You know that? She packed up food and went down there to hospice. Then when Mom died, I got a knock at the door, and Candy and I went, and there they all were in a line, brought in all kinds of food. Said, it's time for us to repay. Care. You care. I don't know what kind of a reward you're looking for in life. And I can't promise you that people will praise you for everything you do when you care. But there is a payday coming. There's a payday coming. Janet, for all the hams you bake, and Kathy, for all the cards you sign, and Marcia, for all the follow-up work you do, and Judy, for all the flowers you order, there's a payday coming. All you got to do is care. Jesus cared. And now we come to the greatest part of the service. We invite you to Christ tonight if you're lost. Not to invite you to come to get your name on a membership roll. We invite you to come to Christ for one reason and one reason only. We care.